just kidding. I'm just kind of killing time. Oh, there we go. It's killing time till the PowerPoint warmed up. So now it's warm. We could start. Good morning, everybody. How's everybody this morning? Yay. Very good. Getting ready. You guys ready for this? Snow's coming. Cold's coming. 59 more sleeps. I'll be in El Salvador. It'll be nice and warm. Hopefully it'll be cool. Just 30 degrees maybe. 35 stuff. So yeah. Why don't you stand with me this morning? Let's just open in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. It's a day that you have made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. You are good. Faithful, kind, loving, merciful, and gracious. So we thank you for all that. And now we, Lord, as we sing these songs of praise, again, with these small words for such a great God, just pray that you would be honored and blessed and glorified, that you would be lifted up, and that we would just recognize who you are in a deeper way and who we are in relation to all that. And you called us out of darkness into your marvelous light and made us sons and daughters. Thank you. And so as we pray and worship and hear from your word and fellowship together, Lord, again, I just pray that you would be blessed and honored. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. A couple of weeks ago, we introduced this song here. Anybody know what the last line of Psalm 150 says? Everything that has breath.
Nobody.
Haven't done so already, why don't you greet one another? We have some visitors. I see different faces around.
Good morning, everyone. Wow, that's really loud. How is everyone doing this morning? Good. Okay, I'm just going to say it out loud because I'm feeling it. I am really excited this morning. Not to put any pressure on you, Ben, but I'm really excited this morning. this has been a while, so we've been patient, but we're thankful that you're here this morning. And you as well, Dayla. Thank you. Again, good morning, everyone. If you're visiting with us this morning, welcome. So as we gather today, just want to remind everybody that Tuesday is Remembrance Day. It's coming up. You've seen the poppies, people wearing the poppies around. And it's a time for us where we can pause and reflect on the sacrifices made by so many who served, and right now, people who are serving right now in many different capacities. And all for the sake of peace and freedom, and their willingness to leave their homes, their families, all the things that, you know, that they hold dear, their safety, and they're risking their lives for something that we know as this freedom that we get to live in every day, and we shouldn't be taking it lightly. So this morning, rather than having one verse, I've got two that everybody knows, but I think it's just a good reminder that, so in John 15:13, Jesus spoke the words that should resonate deeply with the sacrifice when he said that greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. And just so in that moment of, you know, pause and reflection, in all of those over many, many, many years, people that have laid down their lives, and And especially even for those that have come back from being in a situation that has drastically altered their lives, and to keep them in our prayers and to be reminded of the sacrifice that they've made. And then also, as we reflect on this, we're also reminded of the greatest sacrifice that was made. So a love that was given not only for friends, but for sinners. And I don't know about you, but absolutely, there's things that I would do for the people that I love. The people that don't love me or that have done me wrong, I'm not sure if I would be in that same mindset. And so for all of humanity, love was given freely, not because we earned it, but because God loved us first. And so in John 3:16, Jesus, it was declared that for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believeth in him shall not perish but have eternal life. So just as a reminder, I think that all those sacrifices that were made for us in this earthly world and that sacrifice that was made for our eternal life. So just keep that in the back of your mind on Tuesday. And hopefully if you can make it to a service, there's two different services that happen in Grand Prairie. I know that there's a number of services happening around the communities. So wherever you are going to attend, please make sure you take the time to do that if you can. All right, I will get on to this morning's announcements, and there's a few. So if you've got your bulletin, first off, again, a very warm welcome to Ben and Dayla this morning. Thank you for bringing us a word and sharing your testimony this morning. And I was wondering, but I didn't want to say. I see that he brought his guitar, so I was pleasantly surprised to see that this morning. So looking forward to that. As it's noted in the bulletin, the search committee is very pleased to bring forward a pastoral candidate. It's been a long time coming. Since Ben and Dayla are local to Grand Prairie, there's going to be a series of candidating Sundays to give you the opportunity to hear and connect. And so those dates are in the announcement, so please check that out. Today we'll be following with a potluck, of course, which is always great. And then a panel-style Q&A as well is going to be today. We're looking forward to that. I was thinking about this as I was reading the bulletin, and it never dawned on me. So many of you that don't know, I work for the city of Grand Prairie, and over the past 14 years that I've been there, I do a lot of hiring. So recruitment is something, it's kind of my jam. I really enjoy it. But never would I have thought that I would have not hired somebody yet, but run them through the interview process, and then put them to work for a while, and then decide if we're going to hire them. So I don't know why that didn't dawn on me, but it did, and it's like, okay, that puts a lot of pressure on, so please be kind. So there's some volunteer opportunities. If you're willing to help with the Sunday morning coffee team, please talk to Jennifer. And also, there is an InterVarsity Christian Fellowship Prayer and Dessert Night, Saturday, November 15th. At the LaGlasse Bible Fellowship. So that information is in the bulletin as well. There is also a free seminar on Foundations for Followers of Christ coming up on November 22nd, hosted by the Besançon Community Church. So when we went to the conference a few weeks ago, it was the first time I was actually attending at the Besançon Church, and it was a great facility. They really welcomed us there, and it was a really nice weekend. So if you're able to attend that, please do. The Bread Plus Pantry update. So right now we're seeing between 10 and 20 families come to the pantry each time that we're open. So if you could please support the pantry with groceries or a monetary donation, please do so. And if you know anybody that would like to support the project as well, please inquire, and we would love to hear about that. Christmas shoeboxes, I think they're at the back of the or in the lobby. You'll see them there, and they can be dropped off November 17th here or at the Alliance Church between the 17th and the 23rd of November. And you can also go online to fill a box online, although it's not near as fun as actually getting the box, putting it together, and then filling it with stuff that you can send off. Also, November 30th, it's not in the bulletin, but November 30th, please be reminded that there'll be a congregational meeting right after the service, and please bring a light lunch or a big lunch if you want. It's up to you. You're going to be bringing it. So, and then also November 21st and 23rd, I was handed something that is very dear to my heart, Charlie Brown Christmas at PRBI. So who doesn't love Charlie Brown Christmas. I mean, it's holds a very dear place, and every year we watch it. I think between that and the movie Elf, Charlie Brown Christmas is still my favorite. So if you can make it to the PRBI, November 21st, Friday, it's at 7 p.m., and then Sunday again, November 23rd at 2 p.m. So any other announcements that I didn't mention? Nothing else? All right. Could we get some ushers to come up this morning, and we'll take up this morning's offering? Oh, we have three. Thank you, Emmett. All right, would you bow your heads, please? Heavenly Father, thank you for this time that we get together to gather as your people. And today, as we remember those who gave of themselves so that others might live in peace, we pray for veterans, their families, for comfort, for healing, and for your continued presence in their lives. May we never forget their sacrifice. And above all, Lord, we thank you for your sacrifice, for laying down your life so that we could be reconciled to our Father in heaven for eternal life. And that remembrance, let it stir in us just a deeper gratitude for all the things that we have. As we prepare to give this morning, let us be reminded, Lord, that everything that we have comes from you. It's all yours, and please help us to be good stewards of that you've given to us. And we just prepare our hearts to hear from your word in that the testimony that Ben is going to share with us. We ask that you would be with him this morning, that he's going to share a bit of himself, who he is, and his walk with God. Just ask that you'd be with him as he shares, be with us as we're listening. And just ask, Lord, that you'd be with each one of us and quiet our minds, open our hearts, and we just dedicate this time to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Kids Church. Bye, kiddos. I just invite you to stand with us again as we enter in the more reflective part of our service. Just finished reading through Revelation, that one scene in heaven where these weird looking beasts and creatures are around the throne of God, and they bow down and worship and cry out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord our God Almighty, who was and is to come." Let's declare that he is holy.
You are a holy God, an all-consuming fire. Your misty, bright shining as the sun. Your ways are not our ways. Your thoughts are high above. You are the God's righteousness revealed. The Son of Man, the Son of God, His kingdom come. Jesus, redemption. The expression of God's love. The grace of God, the Word of God, revealed to the magic.
thank you for your love and your kindness. It's your love that has changed so many things. And the greatest commandment is to love. Love our enemies, love our friends. Love our Lord God with all our hearts, soul, mind, and strength. So Lord, let us build our lives upon your love.
Every song
we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Lord, we thank you for your mercy, your great love and kindness to us. Lord, that by your Spirit you have filled us with your love. It's not just for us. We're not just containers of your love, but we are vessels to be poured out to those around us. And we thank you that you did the same for us, Lord. You poured out your love by your Holy Spirit. It's because of that we sing these praises. Lord, I just pray, again, your blessing on Ben as he comes to share your peace on him. You know he's under the proverbial microscope here today, but Lord, we pray that his heart will just be free, that we would learn much from him, from his story and your story, where they connect and how they intertwine, and just to see the beautiful display that you have in him and his life. So be glorified in that, be honored again, just your peace today. In Jesus' name.
Yeah, just wanted to say again, as Darren mentioned, just really excited to hear Ben share his testimony this morning. Glad that Ben and Dale are here. And my hope and my prayer is that as the search committee has gotten to know Ben and Dale, and our recommendation to have him candidate, is that you will see what we see and the reason that we came to the decision to ask him a candidate. So, Ben, the floor is all yours.
Hello. Good morning. Thank you so much for having me here. I am excited to be here. And I want to start by saying I recognize that I'm not hired yet, and I'm not here to convince you to hire me. I want you to have the right person for your church. I think you've done an incredible job of just faithfully gathering together over the last couple of years and keeping this vision alive for this church in this community. So I will try to be, today's an interesting day because I'm not preaching a traditional sermon. Today is about me really introducing myself to you. So I'll try to be as open and honest and vulnerable as possible with you. And next week, I'm scheduled to give more of a traditional teaching message, so you'll get the actual sermon experience next week. And then I also recognize that I'm not a conventional candidate because of my my work as a musician. And so if you were curious at all about me during the week after the bulletin was sent out, you might have looked me up and found information about me online as a guitarist. If you're interested about what that looks like, and you'll be able to see me with my musician hat on next Saturday night at the Polytechnic, where I'll be performing with some other wonderful musicians here in Grand Prairie who have thankfully opened their arms to Dela and I and embraced us very quickly as part of the artist community here in Grand Prairie. So Saturday night I'll be performing, Sunday night I'll be preaching. You'll get to see both sides of me. This morning, I'm sharing my testimony, and testimony is a funny thing, because anytime somebody says that, my brain immediately goes to the story of salvation. How are you saved? But I think testimony is much bigger than that. It's the story of God's faithfulness in your life. So essentially, in order to help you get to know me better, and because my story is a little bit unconventional, I'm kind of going to just tell my life story. And a big part of my life story is music. So I brought my guitar. I'll weave just a couple of little musical elements in so you can see that side of me as well. I was actually born here in Alberta. My parents met and lived in Olds. They're from the Olds Sundry area. My mom was from Edmonton. Her family was from Edmonton. My dad, his family was from Germany, but his childhood was spent mostly in Calgary. So they met in the middle, and I was born, I was a very high-risk birth. My mother was instructed very directly by her doctor to never give birth again after my older brother. And so when I was born, I had to be born in the University Hospital in Edmonton because I was high-risk. And then my childhood was an interesting one because what I remember of it was an idyllic sort of childhood where my brain does not go to bad memories. But that contrasts in some degrees with a lot of time spent in hospitals. I, as a toddler, spent months in hospital in recovery from an injury here in Canada. And then when I was 3 years old, my parents moved my brothers and I to Australia. So my childhood was actually spent in Australia, where I grew up. And if you're expecting an Australian accent, I apologize. I don't normally tell people I'm Australian before they meet me, because then they have these expectations of this exotic accent. I have a very diluted accent. So I grew up in Australia, and some injuries there also led me to many months in hospital emergency rooms and recovery. But that's not actually what I remember about my childhood. What I remember is the time that I spent in Australia's tropical north. I grew up, most of my childhood years, we lived in a tin shed on an acreage. And I thought we were rich because we had a big piece of land. It didn't even occur to me that we lived in a shed with bookshelves as walls. And we had two seasons in Darwin was the name of the city where I grew up and where my parents and brothers still live. And they have two seasons there. They have a wet season and a dry season. And in the wet season, all the ditches would flood. So my friends and I could go out and swim in the ditches. And it was a lot of fun, and we would ride our bikes the rest of the year. And that was my idyllic childhood. And even now, to this day, when I smell rain, the smell of rain reminds me of Christmas. That's what I associate with Christmas, is the smell of rain, because that's the wet season. So as a child, I grew up in a Christian family. I can very thankfully say that for as long as I've been alive, I can remember being a Christian. I can't pinpoint the exact time when I gave my life to Jesus because I just remember always having a relationship with Jesus. As a child, attending churches and youth groups and a Christian school, there were several instances where I said the prayer of repentance and gave my life to Christ, but I kind of think of all of those as renewals of faith or reaffirmations. I don't know when the very first time was. My childhood was also interesting in the sense that Darwin is a very multicultural city, and my family attended a couple different churches over the years, and one of the ones we attended the longest was actually a Filipino community church, and we would have potlucks afterwards. It was my favorite church ever, because Filipino potlucks were always so good after church. We'd get sticky rice and all the yummy things that I never contributed to, but always ate. I don't know why I said that. It's not really a part of my story, but there you go. So church, youth group. As a teenager, I discovered music. And I very quickly jumped into it fully. All my friends played guitar. I wanted to be cool, so I took up guitar lessons to be like them. And while they were off learning rock songs, I quickly discovered the Finger Pickers and Chet Atkins, and I won't name them, but I kind of drifted toward the classical music route. So the idea of being a cool guitarist kind of eluded me there. I went for the more academic approach quite quickly. And so I'm going to wrap up this portion of my sort of life, my wonderfully blessed childhood in rural northern Australia, with a Christian family and a church upbringing, with one of the first pieces that I wrote as a guitarist. And I think this piece sort of captures my mindset as a teenager. Even though life wasn't perfect, I kind of was living, in hindsight, I feel like I might have been living in a bit of a bubble. So this is a piece that I started writing in Darwin, and then I continued working on when I moved to Sydney to attend Bible school. And I would sit on the cliffs of Bondi Beach and Coogee Beach and the other beaches that I would go to on the weekend, and I would play this music and try to come up with the next part. It's called Over the Pacific, because I grew up in Australia with my parents and brothers there, but my extended family remained here in Alberta, so I would always kind of consider this ocean as a big separator. Thank you. As a teenager, even though I had personally been close to death a few times from injuries throughout my childhood, I don't recall ever really considering or giving thought to mortality so much. The town that I grew up in was probably not too different from Grand Prairie. There was about 90,000-ish people when we first moved there in the early 90s. I think there's about 120,000 now. Very blue-collar and military-driven town. It's on the north, it's kind of the gateway to Asia in Australia. It's in the northern central part of Australia. And my school, I went to a K-12 school, so I had the same class for most of my schooling, and there were about between 20 to 30 people, depending on the year, in my grade. So we all knew each other very well. As a teenager, a couple of my classmates died in different car accidents. So then, as a teenager, suddenly we're all forced to confront thoughts of mortality. And then I had one of my very close friends, his mother, died very tragically in a car collision shortly after graduating. So then this started to become a more like prominent experience for me, where I had to confront this concept of mortality. And in my final years of schooling, I also came across a scripture verse which I didn't go out of my way to find myself like a life verse, I guess you might call it. Maybe you have different names for it. But it's a verse that sort of just sticks with you and tends to shape or like guide some of your decision making in life. It tends to reflect something about who you are or what you needed at a certain point in time. And so this verse, I feel like I just kind of stumbled across it one day. I didn't go out of my way to make it mine, but it's always just stuck with me. I just kind of remembered it very quickly, and it's never left me. And so if you have your Bibles, the verse that really latched onto me is, I found it in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 to 12. It's an interesting verse because it's actually a quote from Psalm chapter 34, verses 12 to 16. And this scripture is, for whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. So kind of a strange scripture verse. We all have different ones. My wife has one. You can ask her about it sometime. I'm sure she would love to share her story. This verse kind of explains something about who I am. As a teenager, when I read this, without any sort of real deep understanding or research involved, I took this at face value as just basically being, be honest, live a good life, and you'll be happy. If you lie or like are evil, then God will go out of his way to make life hard for you. That's kind of my understanding of it as a teenager. No like basis or like background involved. And for people who've known me, that might help make a few things make sense in a very like structured part of my formative years. That's a scripture that I clung onto. As an adult now, with a lot more experience and years under my belt, and in case you're wondering, I'm 39 and not quite 40. It's taken on a slightly different meaning for me. So this scripture in Psalms, where the original reference is, this is David, or it's attributed to David writing this, in the years when so you'll all be very familiar with David, who, from our wonderful childhood Sunday school stories, David and Goliath, of the story of a child who very violently beheaded his grown-up bully. And then later on, he got on the wrong side of the king, Saul, and he fled for his life. And the place where he chose to flee to was the hometown of Goliath. And so he got to know on a very personal level the people who he had dedicated years of his life at that point to going out of his way to hunt down and kill. So he lived among them for a time. And then the king there in Gath, Goliath's hometown. So if you're looking at the scripture verse in your Bible, Psalm 34, it'll say attributed to when David had to pretend to be crazy to flee Abimelech. Abimelech is kind of there's a story there too about why they use that word, but the person they're referring to was the king of Gath at that time. There was another person named Abimelech in David's life who was a prophet and a priest, and this is not that guy. So he had to pretend to be crazy to flee the king because the king found out who he was, found out that, oh, this is the guy that killed Goliath, and he's famous for making life hard for me and my family and my town and everyone I care about. So David suddenly had to get away, and the only way that he could get away was to pretend to be crazy. And then in 1 Peter, the letter 1 Peter is from the office of Peter. So Peter was involved, and I think he may not have been the only author, but it's a letter that he wrote and sent to address Christians in what is now modern-day Turkey, just across the ocean, basically, from where he was in modern-day Italy, and because he was in Rome at the time. So Peter is writing this letter about 20 years after the crucifixion of Jesus, and so Christianity was a very new thing, and these Christians were not Jewish. They were I'll just say Turkish converts who had grown up in a very different culture, and this quotation comes on the heels of him addressing Christians who find themselves in very difficult situations. So he specifically addresses slaves, and he specifically addresses women. And so he writes these words as an encouragement to them, saying, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. So he's saying, God sees you, he hears you, he knows what you're going through. Just keep your lips from evil, turn from evil, and do good as best you can in your situation, and God will honor that. God sees you, he knows what you're going through. And if you don't, God also sees you, but his face will be against you. So no matter what, God sees you, he hears you, he knows what you're going through. And so that scripture took on a little bit more depth for me as an adult. Back to my story. Coming out of my childhood, I graduated high school knowing two things. I loved God and I loved music, and I was looking for a way to combine them. So I found what was the only Protestant university in Australia that offered a full degree in music ministry and combined ministry and theological studies with music. So I went to Sydney. It was at that time called Wesley Institute. They've changed their name since then, but it was Wesley Institute. And in addition to my core music subjects, anything that was elective or anything that wasn't music was Bible study, basically. We studied Old Testament and New Testament and various things you would find in a theology degree. And so that was my education, my undergraduate education. Now, I met a girl in my first year. She was an exchange student from the US, and I fell in love, and I was young, and kind of head over heels, fell young love very naively. And I followed her across to the US where we got married. And we drove to New York City from her hometown of Minneapolis, where we were married. And we lived in New York for 4 years. And that year was, those years were filled with all sorts of stories that I'll share over time, perhaps if I have opportunities. I worked as a musician, to help pay the bills, I worked as a paralegal for those years. His law office was basically on the corner of Broadway and Wall Street, and he took on corporate cases to help pay his bills, but primarily what he did was asylum cases. And so I had to write all sorts of asylum applications on the behalf of his clients and attend court cases with the clients. And also at that time, because I was a musician, a lot of what I was doing was teaching guitar lessons, and I taught guitar lessons in the homes of my students. And so I saw, and my students ranged in terms of cultural and financial status, from one student who shared a small studio apartment with her husband and toddler, and to students who were hedge fund managers and banking executives. So I saw in the homes of a wide range of different people, and I got to hear and to know stories from a wide range of different perspectives. and then in 2012, at around Halloween, Hurricane Sandy hit, and that was the time when my wife at the time decided our marriage had to end. So she left me and she went off and had a fling with someone else, and that was the end of my young love and my sort of naivety of, like, I kind of think of that as the end of my innocence. I was exposed to hurt on a very personal level that impacted me more so even than, like, the injuries and hospitalizations and deaths that I had encountered as a child. So that was quite a turbulent time. It was Halloween. I was alone in a country where I didn't have family. New York is about as far away from Australia as you can get. And to top it off, the city was underwater, and I was living in Brooklyn, pretty close to the river, and I would look across the river, and Manhattan was blacked out for a couple days and underwater. So it felt like the end of the world to me, as in my early 20s at the time. I knew at that point that I needed a supportive environment. So, and I wasn't near family. I didn't have a very strong, I realized at that time that I didn't have as strong of a network, a support network, as I thought I did in New York. So, and I wasn't ready to move all the way back to Australia, to Darwin. The shift from New York City to small rural Australia was just too big for me to handle at that point. So I came to Calgary, where I have extended family. And I stayed with my parents' families, my uncle and aunt. And before I get into that next part of my story, the next chapter, I'm gonna play another piece of music. This one is a hymn arrangement. And I chose this one. This is a special hymn for me because of the person who wrote it. I connect with his story. This is a man who also went to music school, and he spent his life as a church organist, but his day job for the first part of his career was he was a coal miner. He would work in the mines Monday to Friday, and then play organ in church on the weekend, and then the latter half of his career, he was an insurance salesman. And we might be familiar with the hymn as "Oh, the Deep, Deep Love of Jesus." The tune that it goes by is, that he named it, is Ebenezer, which is sort of a rock symbolizing God's faithfulness. So here is Ebenezer. Thank you. Okay, so I land in Canada now, a very broken man. I'm in Calgary. My blissful childhood and my complete and full understanding of what it meant to be a Christian was all shaken at this point. I didn't know what to think or what to believe. And so I got connected very quickly with First Alliance Church in Calgary. I knew I needed a strong church family to heal. And so I got connected there. I met a wonderful group of people, and then they actually brought me on staff as an administrator in their worship arts and communications department. And I went through divorce care there, and during that time, I met Dayla, who was also on staff, and wonderfully, this next chapter of my story begins with Dayla being alongside me for my baptism at First Alliance Church, my healing. We were friends for a long time, and we started dating after a while. And then in 2015, we got married. And Dayla has been with me as I was an administrator for several years, trying to find God's faithfulness in my story, where I felt, well, I was trying to figure out what I did wrong, where I went wrong. And I came back at that time to God's original passions that he put on my heart: God, music, what do I do with this? My calling to go to Bible school, thinking that I would be in vocational ministry, what does that look like? And then I had a lot of encouragement at that time to explore that further. So I went with Dayla to attend a course at Amherst University to prepare ourselves for what vocational ministry might look like. And then one thing led to another, and I gained employment as a youth pastor in Hinton. Dayla and I moved up there, spent the first couple years of our marriage in Hinton. And then we moved to Edmonton, the Edmonton area. We lived in St. Albert. But I worked as a director of worship and then also with their youth department at West Meadows Baptist Church in Edmonton. Slightly bigger church. And then after a couple years there, God brought Dale and I back to Calgary, where I worked as a worship pastor at Grace Baptist Church in Calgary. And each of those churches brought unique and different experiences for me. First Alliance Church is a mega church. The church in Hinton was very small. And then the other two are kind of in between. So I learned different ways of prioritizing ministry and serving congregations. I met congregants with different priorities. And every week was a different conversation and a different story. And I loved it, and God used each of those experiences to bring me back to a much fuller understanding of a world that is not black and white, but is vastly colorful and wonderful. So learning to love again, building a healthy relationship with Dayla through a place of vulnerability, and rediscovering my love for vocational ministry. These are ways that God sort of has shown his faithfulness to me in this sort of third chapter of my life. And here we are now in Grand Prairie, where we've been here for about 2 months. I followed Dayla for her work. I've been teaching guitar lessons, and I'm so excited to actually be here. I'm glad that the search committee has brought me in to meet you. I look forward to meeting you over coffee and potluck today, and I look forward to actually sharing a message with you next week. So would you pray for me as I bring the worship team back up to close the service? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the faithfulness that you've shown in my life. Thank you for bringing Dayla and I here to Grand Prairie and for the relationships that we're building here. Thank you for the faithfulness that you've shown to this church over the last couple of decades and more recently, the last couple of years. Thank you, Lord, for your presence in each of our lives and for the hope that we have in your continued and ongoing faithfulness, even in times of trial and difficulty. In your name we pray. Amen.
Stand with us and we'll sing. Father, we thank you for your deep love. Jesus, thank you for your sacrifice of love that brought us to the cross. And thank you for the love that sustains us and guides us and keeps us. We just pray that as we ponder these things that we've heard today in Ben's life and that we reflect on our lives, looking back, we see your hand of mercy and grace. And we give you praise and honor for those things. You are good, is our declaration. Fathers, we are about to have a meal together. We pray that you would bless that time as well as we interact with one another. Thank you for the food and for those who prepared it. Bless them. glorified in our conversation. We ask in Jesus' name.